Good morning, everyone. Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances. Adi Lila, chapter 17, text 302 to 304. So I'll read the first two verses. Tihan sham vamshi mukha gopi vilasi ihan gaura kabudvija kabuta sanyasi. In Krishna Lila, the Lord's complexion is blackish. A flute in his mouth, he enjoys as a cowherd boy. Now the selfsame person has appeared with a fair complexion, sometimes acting as a brahmana, and sometimes accepting the renounced order of life. Atta eva apani prabhu gopi bhava tori, brajendra nandani kohi prananata kori. Therefore, the Lord himself, accepting the emotional ecstasy of the gopis, now addresses the son of Nanda Maharaj, O master of my life, O my dear husband. And the verse on the board, Se Krishna se gopi paramavirodha achincha charitra prabhura ati sudurbodha. And here's a translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. He is Krishna, yet he has accepted the mood of the gopis. How is it so? It is the inconceivable character of the Lord, which is very difficult to understand. Krishna's accepting the part of the gopis is certainly contradictory according to any mundane calculations. But the Lord, by his inconceivable character, may act like the gopis and feel separation from Krishna, although he is Krishna himself. Such a contradiction can be reconciled only in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he has energy that is inconceivable, achincha, which can make possible that which is impossible to do, agatan gatan patiyasi. Such contradictions are very difficult to understand unless a devotee strictly follows the Vaishnava philosophy under the direction of the Goswamis. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ends every chapter with this verse, Sri Rupa Raghunatha Podijara Ash, Chaitanya Charitam Kohi Krishnadas. Chaitanya Charitam Rita Kohi Krishnadas. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. In a song by Narottam Das Thakur, it is stated, Rupa Raghunathapadi hoi biyakuti, kabi hama bhujabo se yugala puriti. The conjugal love between Radha and Krishna, which is called yugala puriti, is not understandable by mundane scholars, artists, or poets. It is simply to be understood by devotees who strictly follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Sometimes so-called artists and poets try to understand the love affairs of Radha and Krishna, and they publish cheap books of poetry and pictures on the subject. Unfortunately, however, they do not understand the transcendental affairs of Radha and Krishna, even to the smallest degree. They are simply meddling in a matter in which they are not fit even to enter. Se Krishna se gopi paramavirodha achincha charitam prabhura ati sudurbodha. He is Krishna, yet he has accepted the mood of the gopis. How is it so? It is the inconceivable character of the Lord, which is very difficult to understand. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Ginanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you get worried about elevated topics, then just hold up your hands and loudly chant Hare Krishna. It's the solution for everything. It's an interesting dilemma. We're one of the three sampradayas that focuses on Vrindavan. The Sri Sampradaya is not focused on Vrindavan. So the spontaneous devotional service is the topic of three of the four sampradayas, which leads to the dilemma, do you enter into it or not? If you don't enter into it, you're thinking you're missing out on something, and if you do enter into it, you think you're unqualified. So this is itself a contradiction almost, which I will hopefully discuss later. But let's begin. I thought I'd begin by giving you a very interesting definition of Bhagavan, and it comes from the Bhagavat Sandarbha, because it contains an interesting phrase, Adi Paraspara Viruddha Ananta Guna Nidhi, how the Lord is an ocean of mutually contradictory qualities. And you can start thinking of what these qualities are. A few of them are mentioned in the definition, but there are so many that we can think of. And those who are familiar with Prabhupada's books will be able to think of some of the qualities of Krishna that are contradictory, mutually contradictory. So here's the definition. Before I give the definition, the Sandarbhas, they kind of progress from general to specific. The Bhagavat Sandarbha is before the Krishna Sandarbha. So the definition given would also apply to other forms of Godhead, although there is a mention of how there is one unique Bhagavan. But the actual details of Krishna are not mentioned in this definition of Bhagavan, because Jiva Goswami, he becomes more and more specific. And the final Sandarbha is the Priti Sandarbha, which we discusses pure love of God. That is the highest topic. But before that, we can give a definition of Bhagavan, which includes many of the attributes of Lord Narayan, although there's one particular part where it says he is the source of all incarnations. That part would be exclusively for Krishna. Here's the definition. It's quite a long paragraph. He who is the very form... Before I read it, I'll give credit to the translator. It's Sri Radhika Raman, who's Ravi Gupta, professor. Some would know him. He's like one of those precocious little boys who became a professor at about the age of 30 or something. He who is the very form of existence, consciousness, and bliss, who possesses inconceivable, multifarious, and unlimited energies that are of his own nature, who is the ocean of unlimited, mutually contradictory qualities, such that in him both the attribute and the possessor of attributes, the lack of differences and varieties of differences, formlessness and form, pervasiveness and centrality, in brackets, madhyamatva, are all true, whose beautiful form is distinct from both gross and subtle entities, self-luminous and consisting entirely of his own nature, who has unlimited such forms that are manifested by his chief form called Bhagavan, whose left side is beautified by Lakshmi, the manifestation of his personal energy, suitable to his own form, who resides in his own abode along with his associates, who are furnished with a form that is a special manifestation of his own splendor, who astonishes the hosts of Atmaramas, those who take pleasure in the self, by his wonderful qualities, pastimes, etc., which are characterized by the play of his personal energy, whose own generic brilliance is manifested in the form of the reality of Brahman, who is the sole shelter and life of his marginal energy, called the living entities, jivas, whose mere reflected energy are the modes of nature, gunas, visible to the unlimited phenomenal world. He is Bhagavan. Notice how Bhagavan includes all his energies, and they're described as the jiva and the external energy, and also his personal associates, the internal energy. And as I mentioned, and as you probably heard, mutually, full of mutually contradictory qualities. So in today's verse, the term Viroda is used. Viroda means contradictory. There's also a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ami Jaichi Paraspara Viruddha Dharma Shraya Radha Prema Taichi Sada Viruddha Dharma Maya. That just as Krishna, this is Krishna speaking, of course it's Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explaining what Krishna's thinking. Just as I am full of contradictory characteristics, in the same way Radha's love is contradictory by nature. And actually, anyone who's read the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila will probably know three examples of how Radharani's love is contradictory. Anyone tell me any of them? I'm sure someone knows. Okay, one is, her love is the purest, and yet it is crooked. Radharani is crooked in her dealings. So she's pure and crooked at the same time. She is, her love is the greatest, and yet she is completely devoid of pride. She sees herself as the smallest. She's so humble, but her love is the greatest. And the final one that's given is, her love has no room for expansion, and yet it is constantly expanding. So these are some contradictions in Radharani's love. So what are the contradictions of in Krishna? We have an ocean of contradictory qualities. Anyone like to offer some? I'm not going to do this class by myself. You're going to have to help me. Well, can you give me some examples of contradictory qualities of Krishna? Very good. He's the smallest and he's the greatest. Anor aniyan, mahato mahiyan. That was one of the ones I put on my little list. I had a list of about six of them. But there are many. Any other ones? Yes. Okay, you're the what of the world?
The greatest shelter of the world.
You're the greatest shelter of the world, and yet you went to Uddhava for advice. Thank you. Another one related to that, he is a supreme controller, and yet he's controlled by his devotees. Here's one I thought of. He's blackish, but he's brilliantly effulgent. Now, can you think of anything in this world that's black and effulgent simultaneously? Apart from a solar eclipse. That's the only thing I could think of. One of the example, when I read out the definition, one, he's all-pervading, and yet he's centralized. He's madhyamatva. He has a form. Mijam is counted as a medium-sized form, and yet at the same time he's all-pervading. He's a person, and yet he's impersonal. The Brahman is impersonal, so he's simultaneously a person and not a person. Another one is, yes? Fantastic. Which scripture is that from? Sri Ishopanasad. Fantastic. That was another one on my list. Thank you for reminding me. So far, Nrsingha Tirtha is going to get the prize. You'll get a bit of extra maha from me at the end of the class because he's participating very nicely. He's the embodiment of truth and at the same time he's a liar. Fantastic, and I never thought of that one. Yes. Yes, he's a personification of death, yet he runs away from Mother Yashoda out of fear. Yes. So, who said that? Which pastime is that? Yes, I'm thinking of the Durvasamuni pastime. There was one instance the gopis, they wanted to cross the Yamuna to feed Durvasa Muni. And Krishna said, what did he say? He said, tell Durvasa Muni that he is, I can't remember the details, he is, eh? Yeah. There were two contradictions, and Durvasa Muni never eats was one of the contradictions. The other one was Krishna's a brahmachari. Of course, Durvasa Muni, he's renowned, so he doesn't eat, but he eats this big feast that the gopis cook. They wanted to feed the sages. Yes, so that's a very nice example. Any other ones? Yes?
You kind of mentioned it 5 minutes ago.
Yes, that's... Yes. It's also, it said, Shakti, Shakti Matayor, Abeda. And there's another version, Shakti, Shakti Mator, Abeda. So what's the difference? The difference is one is plural and one is singular. So we're saying it's he's one and different. So therefore, in Sanskrit, you can write it as it's one, therefore it's Shakti Shakti Mator. Or you can say, well, it's two, it's Shakti Shakti Matayor. So the Sanskrit has two ways of being expressed, depending on whether you want to express it as the dual or the singular. And considering that he's both dual and singular, you can do either. So yeah, then it said Radhapurna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shaktiman. Dui Vastu Bedanoi, Shastra Praman. That Radha is the complete energy, Krishna is the energetic, and they're Dui Vastu, two things, but Beda Noi, they're only one. And another one related to that, Pancha Tattva Eka Vastu, Vivida Vibeda, Rasa Asvaditi Tabu Vivida Vibeda. No, it's Pancha Tattva Eka Vastu Nahi Kichu Beda. The Pancha Tattva is Eka Vastu, one thing, they're five in one, and yet Vivida Vibeda, they have many. Why? Rasa Asvaditi, to taste rasa. So the Pancha Tattva is one entity, because there's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's energies, and they personify the energies. And yet, it's variety. So oneness and variety, this is the contradictory nature, which can be resolved just by saying Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. We can use that as an excuse to understand everything. Another example, Mudakdva. Krishna is bewildered, and yet he's omniscient at the same time. And he gets the best of both worlds. It's been discussed in a few classes recently. Buddha Bhavana Prabhu said it recently, and someone else gave a class, and he said the same thing, that it would be boring if Krishna knew everything. He wants some surprises. Is it you that mentioned it? Krishna needs a surprise. The thing is, he can get the best of both worlds. He can be omniscient, and he can be surprised by his lila, because he's simultaneously all-knowing and at the same time covered by his illusory energy. Any other examples? We're doing well here. Fantastic. He's at Marama, and at the same time he enjoys the association of the devotees. Which reminds me of a statement in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. He is at his two qualities, Atmaramata and Pararamata. Pararamata means he enjoys with others. Atmaramata, he's self-satisfied. And he's simultaneously both. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of the two qualities, the Pararamata is the higher enjoyment. So although he is Atmarama, he would still rather be enjoying with the gopis. Yes. Yes, he's unborn and born and unborn. Ajobi son, Advayatma. And Bhagavad Gita says, although he's unborn, he is born. Any other ones? He's partial and impartial. Fantastic. And one way around that is to say, in his Paramatma feature, he's impartial. And in his Bhagavan feature, he's partial. Because Bhagavan is more related to the bhakti potency, which is independent and which can impartially give mercy to one and not to another. And that's a beautiful example. Any other ones? Okay, fantastic. He's the proprietor of everything, and yet he's still the thief. Yes. Fantastic, yes. So that's a contradiction that's in the Bhagavad Gita. You know, Nacha Matstani Bhutani and Matchani Stani Bhutani. The contradiction in two verses. He's with everything, he's with everything and he's not. Radha Mohan Prabhu.
I'm not sure if this counts.
Yes. Yes. The beginning and the end, yes. Oh, yes. Very near and very far away. Good one. We're into the Ishwapanasad again. If we check the Ishwapanasad, we might be able to get some more examples. Anyway, what we're doing right now is we're conceiving of the inconceivable, so we've still failed, because the inconceivable is truly inconceivable. And unless we actually have the mercy of that realization, we won't actually be able to experience what we are just expressing in words. And scripture is about expressing in words something, but then the scripture itself has the potency to bring us to the platform of actual realization. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki Jai. And finally, I think we've done a lot of contradictions there. Just let's recap on the contradiction of this verse, that he's simultaneously Krishna and he's a gopi. How can he be both? Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. We offer our obeisances to Krishna, who is Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam, ornamented with the mood and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. And you can't have one without the other. From mood comes complexion. One teacher, he said, when you're angry, what color do you become? Red. So if you manifest Radha Bhav, you become golden in complexion. No, she has that complexion. The two go side to side. So, let us talk about the problem I mentioned at the beginning, Sahajism. We have a very high topic, and we don't want to enter into it because we're not qualified. But on the hand, if we don't discuss it, we might not develop an attraction for it. Tatramulyam is, or is it Sakalam Ekalam, was it? Tatralolyam Apimulyam Ekalam. There is one price we have to pay in order to attain Krishna, and that is to have greed. But then the question arises, how will the greed arise if we do not know anything about Krishna? Prabhupada would often say, how can you love God if you have no conception of who he is? So we have to read the scriptures to develop a conception of God so we have something that we want to love. One time back to Sananda Sarasvati said, I'm going to discuss Krishna's Leela, not because you are qualified, you're actually not qualified. But if I don't, you might become an impersonalist. So there's a dilemma. And this was nicely resolved by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati at the time of the opening of the Bag Bazaar temple. He composed a verse, Matala Harijana, Vishayarangi, Pujala Ragapata, Gaurava Bhangi. The verse itself is very catching. It's intellectually catching because it's contradiction. It's a contradiction. Both lines are a contradiction. The first line, Matala Harijana, Vishayarangi, means the devotees are intoxicated with sense gratification. Vishaya. I mean, how can that be the case? Are they neophytes? No. It means the senses are being gratified by spiritual things. You see, we have a path, spiritual path. We mentioned Durvasa Muni, so he can fast. He's a brahmachari. You know, brahmacharis, they sleep on the floor, they eat simple food. Everything's very simple. And yet, with the principle of Yukta Vairagya, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was creating opulent temples and making opulent offerings to the Lord. They had big hills of rice on Govardhan Puja and so forth. So there was so much facility to enjoy. That's what's meant by Vishayarangi. And the Matala, they were intoxicated, but we understand it was a spiritual intoxication. Lord Rishabh Devi says, Nunam pramatah kurate vikarma yad indriya pritai apranati. The mad person will perform abominable activities for sense gratification. But the devotees, they will gratify them senses through the remnants of prasadam. Or they will wear the garland that has been offered to the Lord. They will wear clothes that have been offered to the Lord, so forth like this. So this is Vishayarangi. And the second line, Pujala Ragapata, Gaurava Bhangi, it has two meanings. One meaning is, Gaurava Bhangi means breaking the mood of awe and reverence. So by performing spontaneous devotional service, they have broken their mood of awe and reverence to Bhagavan. They have an intimate relationship. But the other meaning is, because the word Bhangi means to break, but Bhangi means on the head. So Gaurava Bhangi means I place, or the spontaneous devotional path, I place it above my head and I worship it in awe and reverence. That is actually the secret. That is the cure for the disease of Sahajism. Now, we can't seriously get into Sahajism in ISKCON. At least we shouldn't, because Prabhupada was so clear that it was wrong. But it's still, there's loopholes. You can still do it. For example, you can choose any part of Prabhupada's teachings. You can choose, you know, Anchalila, the inconceivable nature of the Lord's love for the gopis, and you can read that and you can be a sahaja. You can easily do it. Prabhupada once said, you know, one devotee tried to justify the Gopi Bhav Club. Remember, people of you all know about the Gopi Bhav Club. It was one of those moments in ISKCON where Prabhupada got very, very angry. Devotees were prematurely entering into pastimes they had no qualification for. So at that time, one devotee was saying, but Prabhupada, it's in your books. You see, all this stuff's in your books. Of course it is. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So much elevated stuff. And Prabhupada's answer was, you remember his answer? He said, my books are like a drugstore, but you have to take according to the prescription. So we have to know when we can enter into a certain part of Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada, he gave a lot of clever answers when he was smashing Sahajism. One was, first deserve, then desire. You know this one, right? First deserve, then desire. Here's another one. He said, first Kurukshetra Lila, then Rasa Lila. Another thing he said was, you're not becoming purified, you're becoming putrefied. And I just stumbled on one quite recently. He says, first come to Swarup, then talk about Swarup. There's no point in talking about Swarup if you haven't come to the platform of Swarup, you see? So this is how Prabhupada set up ISKCON. And here's a little historical, factual thing. You can verify it yourself. Just think about it. It's obviously true. Because we have this, it's not a blanket, you know, curfew. We're not like saying you can't talk about these topics. But because we're very, very careful about not getting into these higher topics, it created a situation in ISKCON where people from outside ISKCON could start talking about things of a high nature, and people would got attracted, and then sometimes they started thinking this is higher, and they thought they were going somewhere higher. Now, it's one of those things. There obviously is space to talk about these higher topics. In the Gaudiya Math, there were devotees of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, disciples, who would discuss very elevated topics. But in general, the Gaudiya Math was strict. They were stricter than we are. For example, in this temple, in an evening program, I could give a class and talk about Krishna's childhood pastimes. In the Gaudiya Math, they wouldn't allow that. They wouldn't have classes for the public on Krishna's childhood pastimes. I'm not even talking about pastimes with the gopis. It's childhood pastimes. They were like, no, we're not going to talk about these elevated topics. So, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, there were certain chapters that the devotees were not allowed to read. For example, the fourth chapter of Adilila, the glories of Srimati Radharani. The second half of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, the conversation between the two, not allowed. Another example, and I always find this one interesting because I don't know why. In the Anchalila, there's the pastime where Lord Chaitanya falls unconscious in the ocean and he gets caught by a fisherman in the net, right? There are other chapters in that Anchalila which I would have not gone near before that one, but anyway. So that was how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he set up the society. So strict, very strict about what our platform is. But at the same time, in private, certain devotees could discuss some literatures that even we don't discuss. Now here's an interesting pastime from Yogeshwar Prabhu. So one time he went to UNESCO and he wanted to have Prabhupada's books in the UNESCO library. And as a reciprocation, some man at the organization gave him some books by Vidyapati and Chandidas. They're very elevated books, very elevated topics. So Yogeshwar, he brought them back and he gave them to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was like, where'd you get this from? He explained the story. Later on, Prabhupada called Yogeshwar into the room and started reading from this book, some kind of high topic. Yogeshwar was a bit embarrassed because it was beyond him. And then Prabhupada said, what do you think then? And then Yogeshwar was like, oh, didn't know what to say. Prabhupada said, this should not be translated. These words are the words of a woman who is married talking about her paramour. So obviously talking about Radharani, love for Krishna. If we translate, people will misunderstand. Then he gave an example. He said, one time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he wanted to translate some works of some book of Chandidas, and he asked permission from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he said no. He asked permission again. He said no. Third time he asked permission, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, okay, you can publish. You can publish one copy for yourself. So Prabhupada then said, so we don't go near that. And Yogeshwar said, Prabhupada said, no one's qualified to understand this. Yogeshwar said, Prabhupada, you can understand this. And Prabhupada went, shook his head. He said, I am not so great. He said he wouldn't go near that book. Interesting. So we should bear this in mind, this very important statement, and it's been discussed a lot in the broader Gaudiya community. Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bhangi, that we have to keep awe and reverence for Ragamarg. Because ultimately, It is actually through humility that we can actually enter into these pastimes. Here's another contradiction. We're talking about contradictions. In spiritual life, how do you go up? How do you go high? It's to go low. Right? Tranada peace, anishana, tarara peace, ahishnuna, amanina, manadena, kirtania, sadahari. This is the beginning and the end of devotional service. When I joined the Hare Krishna, first temple I joined was in New Zealand. And at the morning program, we would recite the Shikshastika every day. Many years later, I finally finished reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And what is the last chapter? The Shikshastika. So the Shikshastika is the beginning and the end of devotional service. We begin with the Shikshastika and we end with the Shikshastika because it's so high. It spans from the very beginning to the very end. It's such a wonderful collection of verses. It's eloquence. What's the definition of eloquence? It's truth spoken concisely. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to write pages and pages of scripture. He can capture everything in 8 verses. The Goswami has expanded upon it, but Lord Chaitanya, he captured it in 8 verses. So what's the order we should read books? It's interesting in ISKCON, the order we have Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, we would generally do it in that order. The Gaudiya Math had a different order. They would do, I'm not sure where Bhagavad Gita comes in, but they would do Chaitanya Bhagavat first, then Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then Srimad Bhagavatam. So what would be the purpose? Anyone like to offer an explanation as why they would do it in the reverse order? Why would you go to Lord Chaitanya first before going to the Bhagavatam? Yes. Yes. Actually, Prabhupada does the same. If you look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find the introductory life sketch of Lord Chaitanya. Now, if you read this, you'll find an interesting statement. Prabhupada talks about the two Bhagavadas. You know, Nasta Prayesh Vabhadrashu Nityam Bhagavad Sevaya Bhagavad Yuttamasloki Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Through rendering service to the person Bhagavat and through serving the book Bhagavat, then all our anartas are destroyed. We come to the elevated platform, right? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Eka Bhagavata Bada Bhagavata Shastra Ar Bhagavata Bhakta Bhakti Rasa Patra. Beautiful verse. So it's in Adi Lila. It says, one Bhagavata is the Bhagavat Shastra, namely the Srimad Bhagavatam. The other Bhagavat is Bhakta, the devotee who is Bhakti Rasa Patra, which means he's a container, his heart is bubbling with Bhakti Rasa. So if you hear the explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam from such a person, then you will understand it. So in the introduction, before Srila Prabhupada even translates verse 1, 1, 1, 1, before he even does that, he gives the whole life story of Lord Chaitanya, and in it he says, the Bhagavatam is understood through the person Bhagavatam, therefore I am given the life sketch. And he calls Lord Chaitanya the living Bhagavatam. You see? Someone who lives the life of the Bhagavat, he's called a living Bhagavatam. So there's a difference between a living Bhagavatam, or sometimes Prabhupada uses the phrase living Bhagavata, and a physically present Bhagavata. They're two separate things. Sometimes we think living necessarily means physically present. It's not the case. All our parampara are living Bhagavatas. And it said, Mahajano Jena Gata Sapanta. Anyone know this verse? Yes. Mahabharata verse. How many? Mahabharata is such a large book, but we don't know so many verses. The most verses we do know are from the Bhagavad Gita section of the Mahabharata. But this is a beautiful verse. Tarka Pratishta Shrutayo Vibina Nasav Rishir Yashya Matam Nabina Dharmasya Tatvam Nihitam Guhayam Mahajano Jena Gata Sapanta. Logic has no foundation. The Vedas give contradictory teachings. You're not considered a rishi or a proper pundit unless you have an original new opinion on things. All useless. How do you come to conclusion? How do you come to the truth if everyone's given you a new version? The answer is given in the second half of the verse. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. Dharma is found within the heart of the devotees. You find that pure devotee who knows dharma, knows tattva, you inquire from that person, then you will know tattva. That's why it's so important that we hear from advanced devotees when we can find them. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he described the scripture as the passive agent of divinity and the pure devotee as the active agent. And I was reflecting, we have personal proof of this. When Srila Prabhupada left the planet, there was a lot of confusion, and there has been ever since. I think it's in some ways it's dying down. We're becoming more stable. But why does confusion arise? Because we couldn't write to Prabhupada or go knock on his door, open the door, ask him. We couldn't ask him questions. Now when we have questions, we have to individually or collectively study the Shastra, look at the history, and come to some conclusion. What that means is the books are passive. They're not giving us the final verdict. But Srila Prabhupada was active. If any of the, even today in our society, there are so many differences of opinion. There's even some of them are active right now. Should we have female Diksha Gurus or not? You know, someone's now come out with a new paper to try and establish that the Pancharatika Vidhi establishes that only liberated women can give Diksha, whereas a man who's not liberated can still give Diksha. I mean, it's still going on to this day. Passive agent of divinity. There are, as devotees, as individuals, we each have a certain capacity to understand Prabhupada's teachings, to understand the scriptures. Some of us are advanced at Sanskrit, they get an extra insight. Some of us have personal experience of Srila Prabhupada and have a better understanding of his mood. There are so many advantages and disadvantages. We all have, to some degree, or different devotees have certain strengths. And collectively, if we don't come to a conclusion, what do we do? The point is, the books are passive agent of divinity. Chant Hare Krishna, exactly. If in doubt, just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There was one letter, some temple started to stop doing book distribution in Harinam Sankirtan. And instead they were doing 5 or 6 hours reading every day. And so someone wrote to Prabhupada and said, is this okay? And he said, no. So this is not my program. You should spend most of your time distributing books and chanting Hare Krishna, and you read 1 hour in the morning, 1 in the evening. So this is Buddha Yoga, the Dhammi Buddha Yogam Tam. Krishna gives intelligence from within the heart. So if we want to know truth, now I said you should approach someone who has the truth. But then here's the problem. They're rare and they're hard to find, right? Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigya Nabujaya. Even an intelligent person cannot recognize a Vaishnav. There may be many in our society. There may be many in ISKCON. I don't know. I don't recognize them. I don't have the vision. The thing about the sadhu is you can't see the sadhu. You're the object of the sadhu's vision. Who's the seer and who's the seen? It's called Drashta Drishya Vichar. The Gaudiya Math described it that way. There's three processes. There's Drashta, the seer, there's Darshana, the act of seeing, and then there's Drishya, the object of vision. So sometimes devotees think, I don't want to get up for Mangal Arati, I don't want to see the deities, I'd rather sleep in bed. Point is, whether you want to see the deities or not is not the point. The point is the deities want to see you. We're not coming to see the deities, of course, in a sense we are. We're actually coming so the deities can see us. And here's the mystical thing. When the deities, or when Krishna glances upon you, then you get realization of Krishna. Your vision is opened when he looks at you. So we're looking for that. We're trying to act in such a way that Krishna will see us. Prabhupada described it that way, didn't he? He said, don't try and see Krishna. Try and act in such a way that Krishna sees you. And if we study the pastime of how Narad Muni had a momentary darshan of the Lord and then became very disturbed, he then, for the rest of his life, he engaged in Sankirtan. Exactly what for me, I don't know. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, I don't remember exact words, serving the Lord or Sankirtan is seeing the Lord. If you're fully engaged in the activity of serving the Lord through Sankirtan, that is seeing the Lord. Amazing. Which means you don't have to read the advanced literature. If you're actually distributing Prabhupada's books, you can get actual, it is non-different from seeing the Lord. When someone acts only for Krishna's service, that person is seeing the Lord. We have this term, Ishtadeva Spurti, you know. What's the verse go? How does it go again? Stavara Jangama Deki, Nadeki Tara Murta, Sarvatra Hoi Hobi Nicha Ishtadeva Spurti. The advanced devotee, he does not see the external world when he sees this world. He sees the Ishtadeva Spurti. He sees his beloved Lord. If you take the literal meaning of that, it sounds like he's seeing the Lord in the exact form that he likes to see the Lord in, which may well be the case. But Prabhupada often said he sees the Paramatma as one explanation of that verse. So the Ishtadeva Spurti would be his Ishtadeva in the form of Paramatma. In other words, he sees a tree, he can see the Supersoul within the tree. We've all seen the picture of the sage. You've seen the picture of your Vishnu, and you have all these little pencil-like effulgent rays coming, and you see a little Vishnu inside everyone's heart. That's one of the popular pictures we have in ISKCON. So that's also Ishtadeva Spurti. Another way Prabhupada gives this explanation of this verse, he says he doesn't see just the energy, he relates it to the source of the energy. So if you see Krishna's energy, and you think that's Krishna, that reminds you of Krishna, that's another meaning of that verse. And it's based on the definition of the Uttama Adhikari in the 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Was it Sarva Bhuteshu Yapashed Bhagavad Bhaktam? Was it? Bhagavad Bhakti. Anyway. Bhutane Bhagavachat Anma Esha Bhagavatotamaha. The Uttama Adhikari sees Krishna within everything and sees everything within Krishna. So if you see the water, if you think of water, that's Krishna. Rasohamapsakantiya. That's how an Uttama Adhikari will see water. Everything's connected to Krishna like that. So this is... why did I get onto that? Why was I talking about the Ishtadeva Spurti? Say again? And before that? Anyway, I was on a thread. I probably forgot the thread. Anyway, let's talk about the word charitra. It's in the verse. It means character. Now, I like the... Does anyone remember the explanation of the phrase Chaitanya Charitamrita in the introduction, or is it in the preface? Prabhupada explains what that phrase means. I mean, one plausible interpretation of that is it is the nectarian characteristics of Lord Chaitanya, because Amrita means nectar and Charitra means characteristics and Chaitanya means Lord Chaitanya. But it's not the meaning that Prabhupada gives. Does anyone know the meaning Prabhupada gives? It's an interesting one. It's very scientific. He takes the word Chaitanya to mean consciousness, and Amrita to mean immortality. And he said it's we're studying the nature of consciousness in immortality. It's a beautiful explanation. And the idea I get from that is devotees, they're beyond birth and death, and they have ecstatic interactions with other devotees. So their consciousness has transcended death, and we're going to look at that consciousness by so many examples of pure devotees. Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of nectarian pastimes of devotees who have transcended the bodily platform and they're having beautiful exchanges. And these exchanges, interaction of one liberated consciousness and another one against another one, that is Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the Bhagavad Gita explains, my eva mana adatsva, mai buddhim naveshaya, nivashishyasi maiva ata urva mashangshayaha. Just try and fix your mind upon me. Engage your intelligence in me. Thus you will come to me without fail. Ata chittam samadatum na shaknosi mai stiram. Abhyasa yoga yuktina mami chaptum dananjaya. And if you cannot do that, engage in sadhana bhakti. Engage in the regular principles. So we needn't go beyond that. Krishna gives other options. But we are devotees. We chant Hare Krishna. We have a sadhana. So if we're not on the platform where we always think of Krishna, we simply do the sadhana and we will come to the platform of always thinking of Krishna. We needn't go further than that. There's work for Krishna. Give your money to some good cause. We shouldn't be falling to that platform. We should at least follow our sadhana. We have a good strict sadhana. We will ultimately come to that platform. And as I've tried to present in this class, The way to go up is to go down. You keep a distance from the higher topics. That is more attractive because it is mercy. Mercy comes down. You can't go up. I remember Bhagavad Ashray was giving class here once, and he said, you can't hack into Krishna's database. He was talking about this world. There's secret, there's top secret, there's above top. There's so many classifications. And in this digital age, there are so many databases, and there are firewalls, and there's other coding. But if you're clever enough, you can hack in. The point is, you can't hack into Krishna's database. In other words, you can't get access into Goloka Vrindavan unless you're invited in. It doesn't matter how many slokas you know. It doesn't matter how many elevated topics you study. You can't get in there. And because Prabhupada was very cautious about that, as I said, you're not becoming purified, you're becoming putrefied. So our real hope to attain these higher topics, to attain something higher, is to serve the Vaishnavas. You know, it's Nam Ruchi, Jiva Doi, Vaishnav Seva. Do these three things. That is the key. That's what's going to get us there. And they're all interconnected. Remember one devotee was giving class, he was saying, he does things that are reversed to what I do. My kind of way is like, if I, through Nam Ruchi, I'll just chant Hare Krishna, develop a taste, that'll make me humble, and then I'll be better at serving others, and I'll feel more compassionate. I try and begin with Jiva Doya. I think, let me take the holy name onto the streets. That's Jiva Doya. I'll get a taste, Harinam, Nam Ruchi, and then I'll become humble, and then I'll be better at Vaishnava Seva. So that's the order I kind of think about doing things. But this devotee gave the opposite order. He said, I'm trying to get the right order. He said, it begins with Vaishnava Seva. You serve the Vaishnavas. That's very pleasing to Krishna. Then you'll get some Harinam Ruchi. You'll get a taste for the holy name. Then your heart will be compassionate and you'll want to give it to others. So I was thinking, that's great, but I wouldn't run a Bhakta program like that. I wouldn't tell the Bhaktas, when you get the compassion, then you go on the street. I wouldn't do it that way. So for that reason, I didn't accept it. But I loved his explanation. And he was saying, he said something which was very, I'll just tell you who it was. It was Garanga from Chaupari. I mean, I don't know who this person was. He said on another occasion, he said, Vaishnav Seva is the Yuga Dharma. And I was like, what? How can you say that? But his point was, if you don't serve the Vaishnavas, then how will you have the consciousness in which to chant the holy names? You know, Trinada peace, and it's not. If you're not as lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than the tree, how will you be able to chant the holy name constantly? So the two are so connected that you can't really separate them. So I found his comment to be interesting. I can't say I can verify it in scripture, but it was interesting. I thought about it a lot. Then yeah, it's an interesting point, and we can learn from that. Anyway, I've been talking a lot, and thank you for your patience. It's 9:15. There's plenty of time if anyone wants to ask any questions or give any comments or any corrections.